We started together a new series, a short series of messages that we have entitled Five Smooth Stones. The purpose of this study is to develop five themes that you will find in the life of those who are known as faithful servants of the Lord. All of us are called to serve and be servants of Jesus Christ. What matters is how we choose to serve Him. That will make all the difference. Tonight we want to look at the first of the five core values of a faithful servant. And that first is that of honesty. Those whom the Lord will one day call faithful are going to be known as men and women of honesty. Before we look at the value of honesty, though, tonight, would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? Father, we do thank You for this night. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to come and gather together again. Lord, to be able to study Your Word. We thank You that we have been able to sing. Lord, we've been able to give. Lord, we've been able to nominate men to serve in the office of deacon. And now, Father, You have given us time to come and study Your Word. Father, I pray tonight that as we develop this first value of a servant, the value of honesty, that, Lord, You would give to us an understanding heart, a willingness to discern if these things are so of us, and, Father, even a willingness to confess sin, begin to strive for that in our lives if we find ourselves to be wanting. And, Father, we'll thank You and praise You for our time this evening. We're asking and praying for Your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin tonight, let's take our Bible and open with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Corinthians in the 8th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Tonight we want to develop the theme of honesty. To know what it means to truly be one characterized as honest. I would hope and I would pray that all of us here tonight desire to be known for our honesty. Lying is something that should never be tolerated in our lives, nor should it be tolerated in the lives of those whom we love. A person that is willing to lie, a person that is known for dishonesty, is one that reveals a character that is warped and a character that is corrupt. A person that is willing to tell a lie instead of being honest is one that says self-preservation is more important than truth. Folks, 9 times out of 10, when you and I tell a lie, we are trying to preserve self instead of dealing in the truth. We are more concerned about what other people might think of us than we are about what is true and right is right. But God would want His servants to be known for their honesty. And as we consider the theme of honesty, I want you to understand that there is more to honesty than just whether or not a person tells the truth or whether or not a person lies. So tonight I want to see together four things that define for us the value of an honest person. So as we begin tonight, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want you to look with me, if you would, at verse 21. For sake of context, let's back up just a few verses to verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered to us by the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. Look at verse 21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. The first characteristic of honesty that I want you to see with me is simply this. Honesty is being the same in the company of God as we are in the company of men. If you and I are going to be faithful servants, known for our honesty, then what you will find is an honest person is one who is same in the presence of God as he is in the presence of men. Paul is in the midst of recounting here in 2 Corinthians 8 the blessings of the Lord. And he gives to us this meaning of the concept of honesty. He tells us that he provided or made the provision that he would be honest both before God and man. So as we consider this tonight, as we look at this passage together, I want you to see the value or the key to the value of honesty. And first of all, what we need to understand is the key is simply this, that we are to be the same before God as we are with man. James in James chapter 1 and verse 8 reminds us that we are not to be a double-minded man. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God would have you and I to be the same. No matter what company we keep, God wants us to be the same in his company as we are in the company with other men. There is to be no difference in us when we are with the Lord than we are with men. What that means is simply this. You are the same at home as you are at work. And you are the same at church as you are everywhere else. No matter what company you keep, an honest person remains the same. He doesn't change. It doesn't matter if circumstances around him change. His character always remains the same. Are you willing at work to tell a lie, but at church you'll always speak the truth? You're struggling then in the character of honesty. Well, in the presence of the unsaved, I'll join in with them, but with the Christian, I'll make sure to keep on the proper front. Those who are honest are the same no matter the company that they keep. Before God, before man, their character never changes. They're always the same. In fact, Paul says here to us in verse 21, providing for honest things. I want to take a moment and talk about that word, provide, for a moment. The word provide there means to look beforehand, to consider in advance. You and I are to look before the things that we do and to ensure that we will be the same, remain honest in all things. And I want you to note here with me, it is our responsibility. We have the responsibility to ensure that in all things we live honestly. Paul said he was taking the responsibility on himself to provide that others would know them to be honest. He looked before and he understood what was coming. And he took provision to make sure his character would always be pure. And a character known for his honesty. You and I have to determine beforehand what we will do or not do. We have to provide, consider. An honest man will always be the same. When I think in the scripture, I think of an example of Daniel. Daniel to me kind of stands out as one who is always the same. Daniel never seemed to care what company he was in. He was always the same in character. Why was Daniel one whose character never changed? Because of Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. We're told, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he required of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel said, I have determined, I have purposed not to change. Now folks, that was a hard decision And he was a young man when he did it. But Daniel purposed, he provided for himself that he would always be the same in Israel as he now is in captivity. And folks, that never changed for Daniel. Kingdoms changed, kings changed, rulers changed, but Daniel was the same. Folks, years passed. A new kingdom had come in. Babylon was gone. Cyrus is now ruling. And Daniel purposed still in his heart he would not defile himself. And when a decree was made that no one was permitted to pray except to the king, the emperor, Daniel said, I'm sorry, I made a decision years ago that I am praying. And every day he went and prayed. And he never changed his routine. Because in the company of God, or in the company of men, in the company of peasants or the company of kings, he wouldn't change. He was always the same. A faithful servant of the Lord will purpose and will provide for honest living, whether he is before the Lord or before men. Take your Bible now, if you would, and turn back a few pages to the book of Acts. Chapter 24. I want you to see the next trait of honesty here. God has called us to be faithful servants, and I believe that God one day desires to call us good and faithful. If we're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, one of the things that we're going to have to ensure is that we live an honest life. Honesty is being the same before God as it is in man. But I also want you to notice with me that honesty is being transparent before God and man. Acts 24, look at verse 16. Paul again writes and says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. I want to take a moment and talk about that phrase there, to be void of offense. Again, what we find here is simply this: there is a personal responsibility. Paul says, I exercise myself to ensure that I have a conscience always void of offense before my God and before my fellow men. So what does it mean there to be void of offense? I think what we find here is simply this. The concept is that of being transparent. To be completely open. Nothing hidden. There is nothing between us. There is nothing that causes problems, because there's nothing that is in the shadows. Everything is open in the light. We're transparent before God and before others. And Paul desired that his life be an open book before God and before those with whom he served. And he said he worked hard. He exercised himself to make sure that his life was void of offense. I want to take a few moments, if I could, and just help us understand this a little bit further. Because I want us to know really how this concept of being void of offense relates to honesty. And I want to ask you a question. Way back in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, we find that man sins against God. I want to ask you a question. What is the first thing Adam and Eve did once they sinned? They hid themselves from God. After they sinned, the Bible says they heard the Lord coming in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves. The very first thing that they did was to hide from the Lord. And they sought to cover themselves with fig leaves. God comes to them and says, Adam, where are you? Well, we hid ourselves because we were naked. God said, who told you you were naked? They were covering themselves, hiding themselves. Why? They were no longer void of offense. They had sinned against God. And now, they're no longer transparent. Now, they are hiding. But before, they never feared God. They never ran from God. They continued to walk with Him. Now that sin has entered into the picture, man begins his great cover-up before God and his great cover-up with men. Folks, honesty rejects the notion to hide and seeks to be open before God and man. If we're going to live an honest life, we don't keep things hidden. But the problem is sin gets in the way. Sin wants us to kind of keep things in the shadows, some things that are just reserved for me. But folks, an honest life is one that is transparent before our God. That's why you've heard me often say something like this when it comes to sin: keep a short account with God. Keep a short account with man. Folks, how can you and I expect to have a close relationship with Christ when sin goes unconfessed? How can we expect to have power in prayer when we refuse to deal with our sin? Is there any wonder that we can sit and read our Bibles and get nothing from it, or sit through a service and never really hear the still small voice of the Lord, or that we can pray and say things such as this: it feels as if my prayers never leave the ceiling. Why? Because we no longer have the liberty in Christ, because our conscience is not void of offense. We're not as transparent. Let's face it, folks, you've probably done the same thing that I've done in my life. We know we're supposed to pray, and somehow we think that in our time of prayer, I can still kind of have this hidden chamber in my life, and God won't know that that happened for me. And all along, He's saying, would you mind opening the door and unlocking the casket there? Because it's time to deal with that. No, no, you don't understand. You don't know it's there. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. But we still try to hide those things from the Lord. We try to hide those from others. When you and I allow sin to reign within our lives, we lack the liberty to truly come to Him as we ought. When we don't deal with sin, we grieve the Spirit of God and we quench His power in our lives. And folks, the same is true in an earthly relationship. Can you really have a closeness with your spouse if you're not telling them the things that are going on in your life, if you're hiding things from them? Hey, honey, what's wrong? Nothing. When we refuse to be transparent, how do you expect to have a closest of relationship? Young people, do you really expect to be able to have a good relationship with mom and dad when you're going behind their back and trying to hide things from them? By the way, they probably already know you did it. Parents, kind of, sometimes God reveals those things to us, and we don't always have to tell you that we know. But you kind of sneak around and you kind of feel bad and you're kind of down. Why? Because you're trying to keep things hidden. You can't have a good earthly relationship, nor can you have a heavenly relationship when things are hidden. You and I have to seek forgiveness and restoration. Biblical example there, folks, is David, is it not? Folks, David committed some of the greatest sins known to man: murder and adultery. Yet God still called him a man after His own heart. Now, let's face it. We understand that David in the beginning tried to hide all of that. And God sent a prophet. His name was Nathan. Nathan tells David a story and David is incensed. I'll have that man's life! And Nathan looks at him and I almost kind of think that it's somewhat of a sheepish grin. You're the man. That's bold for that prophet. David could have set off with his head. David probably would have drawn his own sword and done it. But he doesn't do that, does he? Folks, what comes out of that confrontation is Psalm 51. You want to understand the definition of transparency, read Psalm 51. Because David opens up and he admits his sin before his God, and he seeks repentance and he seeks restoration in that relationship. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Create in me a clean heart, O God. David desired to be void of offense. But I also want you to see that honesty requires that we be sincere in all that we do. Go to Philippians chapter 1 tonight. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 10 if you would. In verse 9, Paul writes and says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye improve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Honesty means that we are sincere in all that we do. The term sincere is an interesting word. It's a term that simply means to be without wax. Literally, to be without wax, or to be sun tested. It is a word that was used in the marketplace to speak of a reputable vendor, one whose items were found to be true. Just like in our day and age, there were those back in that day that were less than reputable as they would sell their goods. And so there was a common practice. There would be a potter, and he would be producing a vase, and as it would be going through the process of drying, a crack would develop. Now, folks, the reality is that vase is no longer good. That pot is no longer good with the crack, because the water is going to come out. But he didn't want to throw it away. He didn't want to start all over again. He didn't want to lose. So what they would do is simply apply some wax on the inside. They would paint over that and cover it up. And so to an untrained eye, it would look as everything was okay. And they didn't sell it at a discounted rate. No, no, no. They sold it at the full price. I don't mind buying something at discount if I know there's something wrong with it. I can look at it and say, I can live with that. As a college student, we had to wear a shirt and a tie every day. I didn't mind going to the outlet store and looking through the ties and on the backside finding a bleak spot and say, that $40 tie is now $3. I was happy with the bleak spot back there because no one could see it. But I wouldn't have paid $40 for it. One, I didn't have $40 to pay for a tie. I had $3 to pay for a tie. But the reality is there were those who would try to cheat. They weren't sincere. The other trick is what they would do is as they would have their things out there, they would go ahead and put it in the shade. They would make sure it was under the canopy. Why? Because the sun would melt the wax and expose the problem. Paul says, I want you to be like those vendors, sincere, sun tested, faultless is a term we might use. Blameless. To be sincere. Too often we see many today trying to pass off that which is counterfeit. To be honest means that we are what we claim to be. Are you what you claim to be? Where others find your life to be sincere. And folks, perhaps more damage is done to the testimony of Christ in this area than any other. We walk into our workplace. We say things like this. I'm a Christian. I don't curse. I don't drink. I don't smoke. God is important in my life. Do they see that in you? When you sit down at the lunch table and there you pour out your lunch, you embarrassed to pray openly in front of those people? When they say those things that are truly offensive, well, I don't speak up. Oh, that's not my place. Really? Because what's offensive to you is probably offensive to others too.
That's a right to speak up. When they take the name of the Lord in vain, you have the right to speak up, folks. That's your Lord. That's your Savior. That's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And no one has the right to speak of Him ill. Would you allow them to speak ill of your wife? If you did, shame on you. Shame on us for we let them speak ill of our Lord. We say we're a Christian, that God means more than anything else to us. But we don't mind letting them know that we're not going to be at church on Sunday because we've got other things that are more important. Are you what you claim to be? Are you who you say you are? If God means everything to you, then that ought to be seen. And folks, this is what I know. God will honor sincerity of life. I remember years ago, I struck up a relationship with a local pizza shop owner. We were using him within the Christian school that we were working with, and I was the athletic director. We were using him for all of our concessions and all of our games, and so he would provide for us pretty good quality pizza at a pretty good rate. That's always important when you're trying to make a profit. And so I remember striking up a relationship with him, and I would go to pick up the pizza. And as I was sitting waiting for them done, he used to ask me all kinds of questions. Sometimes he would bring up deep theological questions. He would ask me sometimes questions like Weston asked me, like he did tonight, and kind of stun you a little bit. And I'd have to say, well, I said to Weston, I don't know. Don't have the answer. Some of those things are good. And he would bring up other things, and we'd sit there and discuss them. And I'd say, you know, the pizzas are done. I need to take them back now. I want to have this more discussion later. And I said, we have it later. But I remember him coming one time and saying, I need to ask you a question. I need your advice. I want some counsel. And I said, okay. He said, I want my business to go forward. He says, but I'm struggling with something. I don't want to be open on Sunday. I want God to be pleased by me honoring Him by not having my business open on a Sunday. He says, but I can lose a lot of money on a Sunday. He says, just think about it. Football games, parties, and we're not open. That's a lot of money lost. I said, well, you have a couple different options depending on how you want to do it. I said, but here's my thought. If God's speaking to your heart and you don't believe you should be open, then you need to be sincere and stay closed. And trust God with the rest for your business. And here's what I know. He had an interesting name to his pizza shop. Authentic Pizza. And you know what? He was an authentic Christian. And we didn't agree in every area of doctrine. But the Lord spoke to him and said, you need to keep your business closed. He said, I just moved. I need to make more money. Higher rent. Came back a couple months later, said, let me ask you a question. Anything changed now that you've kept your business closed on Sunday? He says, you know what? Every bill is met. We are meeting our profit margins. My business partners are very happy, and I've never been open on a Sunday. I said, I know, because I really like your pizza, and I don't mind a pizza on a Sunday night after church. I said, but I can never come to you for pizza on the weekends. But he kept his business closed. And God bless. Why? Because he was sincere in what he did. Let me give you an example here. I think biblically that's Joseph. I think Joseph was one who was sincere. You look at Joseph's life and you will find a man of integrity, a man of honesty. And over again, what do we read of Joseph's life? And the Lord was with Joseph. God blessed his life. If you and I are going to be faithful servants of the Lord, then we've got to we have to strive to be known for our sincerity. That means our yea needs to be yea, our nay needs to be nay. Here's the final thought. Honesty means to be without hypocrisy. It means to be without hypocrisy. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 briefly, please, tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This thought is closely linked to what we just considered, with just a little bit of a different distinction. Paul writes in the second epistle, verse 5, when I call to the remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. He's speaking of Timothy. And of Timothy, he describes him as one who has an unfeigned faith. That term, unfeigned, simply means to be without hypocrisy. And we know that a hypocrite is a term that simply means one who plays the part, one who is the actor. Sometimes I think people get confused. They watch a television program and they see a person on the TV screen or on the movie screen, and they see the personality that they have, and they think, wow, they must be a really nice guy. What a personality. You realize that's not who he is. Matter of fact, they often will tell you that many of the actors love playing parts that are outside of who they really are. So that really energetic person on the TV set might be one of the shyest people on the face of the planet. And extremely backward. But in that setting, they can put on the show, they can put on the act, and they can be someone that they're not. You and I sometimes can simply put on the act, we can put on the show, but God would desire us that we would live our life without hypocrisy. We have to guard our lives and our walk from simply going through the motions or formality of simply playing the part. In the other passages that I had listed there for you, in Joshua 24:14, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, both Joshua and Paul challenge us to serve the Lord with sincerity. In Ephesians 6, Paul says that we serve our earthly masters with a singleness of heart, not as a man pleaser, but simply trying to please the Lord. We are to do all things as unto Him. You and I cannot be faithful servants when we are playing the part. Folks, we can play the part pretty well. The longer we've been a part of Christianity, the easier it is to play the part. You know all the lines. You know all the sentences. You know how to say it. You know what facial expression to have when you say it. You know where to carry the Bible and how to say it, and how to refer to it, and how to point to things, and make yourself look to be wonderful. But you're playing the part. God says, I'm looking for men and women who are faithful servants, honest. Not those who will simply play the part, to say what others want to have said. I think of an illustration or another example. This one's on the negative end. I think of this sermon, I think of Samson. Samson played the part. And he enjoyed it. Samson loved being the strong one. Samson loved being able to put on the show for all the people around him. Samson loved to play the tricks. Samson loved to give the riddles. Samson loved to win. He liked to toy with people. Oh, he was the Nazarite. He was the good man in Israel. But behind the scenes, you realize really where he was. He broke every vow of the Nazarite. Why? Because he was just playing the part. And in the end, folks, it cost him everything. Folks, Samson didn't lose his power because he cut the hair. He lost his power because God departed, because he broke every vow. God would later come upon him and use him as the judge to destroy the Philistines. And in the end, he lost his life. He was a hypocrite of hypocrites. The other one I think of is Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh. Jonah finally went to Nineveh after he was swallowed by a fish and thrown up on dry ground. He went with the wrong spirit, never desired to really serve the Lord. People responded. There was a great revival in Nineveh. Jonah went outside and sat under a gourd and complained against God that he would save so many people. And then was upset that a worm ate the gourd and he no longer had his share. What a hypocrite. Now you and I can look at people like that and we can begin to mock them and we can begin to say all kinds of things about them. We can think of Judas Iscariot who walked with the Lord for 3 years, but he was a hypocrite. But my question is this: are you? Am I? We hypocrites. Do we simply play the part? Folks, the Christian life's not a game. It's life. And in the end, it's going to make a difference how you serve. It'll make the difference whether or not you are rewarded or not. See, you can live for the wood, hay, stubble, but it's all going to be burned up in a moment. Or you can live for the gold, silver, and precious stone and have your reward. God is looking for faithful servants. And for Him to say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant, I think what He's looking for are men and women known for honesty. That honest person is one, again, in their life that would be known as the same in the company with God as they are in the company of men. Transparent before His God. Transparent before other men. Not keeping things hidden. Sincere in everything that they do. Test the life and you're going to find them to be true. And then they're one who will live a life without hypocrisy. They won't play the part. Paul was able to say to Timothy, I know your testimony. I know your faith is unfeigned, without hypocrisy. Again, God is looking for faithful servants. Let me ask you a couple questions tonight as we close. What type of relationship do you have with God tonight? Where is your relationship with Him? Let me go a little further. What type of relationship would you have with God tonight if He dealt with you the same way you deal with Him? What type of relationship would you have with God tonight if He dealt with you the way that you deal with others? What type of relationship would you have tonight if God listened to us the same way that we listened to Him? What kind of relationship would you have tonight if God served you the way we served Him? What if God looked at your relationship as one of convenience, the way that we often look at God as a relationship of convenience? We talked about the children of Israel in our study of worship who built a golden calf, strong, powerful ox, to be called upon whenever we needed it to work. But when we don't want it, just put it in a stall and relegate it to no need to be involved in my life. A God of convenience. I wonder tonight if God is just there for our convenience sake. What kind of relationship do you have with others tonight? How's your relationship with your spouse? How about your children? What kind of relationship do you have at work? What kind of relationship do you have with other members of the body of Christ? Simply put, are you a faithful servant of the Lord tonight? Because within you lies the value of honesty. 5 smooth stones. Core values necessary for a faithful servant. And the first one I think is extremely important. Honesty. Is that known of you? Is it known of me? If not, then folks, let me just say that very plainly to us tonight. We need to take whatever steps are necessary to make that change and to be known as men and women, honest, faithful servants of the Lord. Let's pray together, please, as we close.